Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is February 7th, 2019.
The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
The phone number is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In case of an emergency, the cell phone number is 316-619-4886.
Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all on our ministry hub, which is very simply
prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com.
Thank you. We are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube and on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. It's not free, and we're only on the air due to your kind donations.
Now, let's thank our listener base that's worldwide in places like Budapest, Romania, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, Analia, Turkey, Espoo, Finland, and, of course, the cities of the good old USA, Fresno, California, Memphis, Tennessee, Honolulu, Hawaii, Louisville, Kentucky, and these are just a few. And, of course, we have Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners after the radio program posts later tonight.
Yeah, but later on when it goes to podcast, we can actually track. Right now, we can't tell how many people are listening on FM. We can't tell how many people are listening on satellite. Although I do get people once in a while that sends me a text or something that says they listen on satellite. And you folks that listen on satellite, I wish you would send me an email or text, or if you're listening on however you're listening, let me know how you're listening. I won't harass you or anything or solicit you for donations. I'm just curious who all and where all, as you can tell from the radio programs, it's important to me. I like to know where you're listening from. Follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray. Father, I pray the radio tonight goes according to your will, not ours, Father. Please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. Lift the veil from their hearts and from their ears, their eyes. Just lift the veil from them, Father, please. So in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, say hello to the folks.
Shalom.
Shalom. Okay. Well, that's a good way. You know, a lot of people don't understand what shalom means. Shalom means in his perfect peace. Now, you can say shalom as a greeting when you say hi to somebody.
Or as you're leaving, you can say goodbye to somebody.
You're right. Amen. So that's real good. Anyway, we've been kind of going on about a couple of things. We talked on Omega Man last night, and we did a good program earlier today talking about same thing, kind of like about lawlessness. So we're going to get right into that, and we'll go. But on another note, we'll start it with this, and then we'll get into that. You go ahead and read that, Mother.
Jim Chazzy Vazel says Mel Gibson.
Wait a minute. Stop. Because, you know what, I don't know how to pronounce either, but Caviezel, that's the dude that played Christ in The Passion of Christ.
Caviezel?
Yeah, okay.
Caviezel? Says Mel Gibson's sequel to Passion of the Christ will be the biggest film in history. Jim Caviezel is reprising his role as Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Mel Gibson's 2004 movie, The Passion of the Christ, was a blockbuster success, having a budget of $30 million and it grossed over $611 million worldwide. It was one of the most profitable R-rated films in history. Its rating was due to the graphic and realistic nature of Yeshua's torture and crucifixion.
Okay, and you can pick it up right here.
Jim has told USA Today the resurrection big subject. We're trying to craft this is in a way that cinematically compelling and enlightening so that it shines new light, if possible, without creating some weird thing. Mel Gibson has said that the sequel will likely devolve into a spiritual realm. The Passion of the Christ was a movie about Yeshua's last 12 hours on earth. Its sequel will portray Yeshua's resurrection in the 40 days afterward up to his ascension.
Yeah, amen. And while, you know, Hollywood can never make a perfect movie about Yeshua, I still think it's a good thing. And so we'll see. But anyway, on another note, let's just remember one thing, folks, that the Lord is in control. So how about a song? MP3 of it or something, contact me. You know, I might just play it on the air for a song because I, you know, I like music and, you know, what do you think, Mom?
I think it's a good idea.
Amen. So, all right, we'll do that. Okay, we're going to be talking about some more end time events because this, after all, this is an end time radio program. Okay, you want to read this from 2 Thessalonians.
Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Yeshua Messiah and by the gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as far from us as that the day of Yeshua is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Okay, now, I said last night, or usually saying this same opening thing last night when we were talking, but it's pertinent to what we're going to be talking about. Yesterday I was pointing out that because people don't have Torah in their heart, they don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and they, you know, that the devil can come and sit in the throne of God because the body is the throne of God. But yet we also see descriptively in the Bible that it looks like that the people are saying this points to a physical temple being built. I'm not saying that there is or there has to be. I do know that there's Ezekiel's temple will be built, and the Ezekiel's temple will be built after Yeshua comes, and Yeshua will build it himself with the help of others in the 1,000-year reign. Will there be a false temple? I don't know, but a lot of things point to it. But so is there going to, so I do believe that it's twofold, but we also need to look at this to so I can point this out. You can read that long.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of Yahweh, and that the Spirit of Yahweh dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of Yahweh, him shall Yahweh destroy, for the temple of Yahweh is holy, which temple ye are."
Okay. Now, following along that line, we would say that, you know, we could clearly say that the devil goes up and sits in the temple of Yahweh, declaring himself to be God. Well, you know, he could very well do that. In fact, I believe he does that to a lot of Christians, a lot of people that are claimed to be Christians, claim to be hearing, "Thus saith the Lord." And I think that explains why they scream about abortion, that they want abortion and all those things and a lot of evil things. And indeed, that it must not be the Holy Spirit sitting in the temple of God, of Yahweh, but something else declaring itself that it is indeed the Holy Spirit. So they're saying, well, we are hearing from God. And I do believe that that's right. So, but I believe these scriptures, like so many in the Bible, are twofold, and one's a shadow of the other. The only one that can overcome Satan is Yeshua. "I am crucified with Messiah. It is no longer I who live, but Yeshua who lives in me." And that's in Galatians 2:20. And so we know that. But here we have this in John also that points to the same thing.
John 4:4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world."
And by that, and believing that, and by having the Holy Spirit in you, then we do know that he dwells in us in the temple of God. And if he's dwelling in us in the temple of God, how could we possibly be doing all these abominations? And we talked about that before. Because we talked about how, you know, people without Torah, you know, were sinning. Now, is there a third temple about to be built? Well, Tom Horn, which will be on not next week, but the week after. And for the record, folks, next week my wife will be gone to where?
Food bank.
She goes and helps at local food bank. But and I'm not sure what I'll do with that program, but the other program is going to be Carl Gallup's be back, and he'll be talking about his book, which is the second book, folks, in The Rabbi Who Found Messiah. And it's going to be a great book, great interview. But the next week after, I stumbled across this book by Tom Horn. I was told that he wasn't doing interviews when I tried to contact him. He said, "Well, Pastor Danny's not doing very many interviews, but you could ask him." I asked him, and he said, okay. He's writing a book. It's called The Rabbis, Donald Trump, and the Top Secret Plan to Build the Third Temple. Now, there's a whole month of these programs will appear on Skywatch TV this month about this subject. So I suggest you go and watch them. And I really have not read the book yet, so I don't know much about the points that we're about to talk about, but I recognize the points. There were some talking points over at his website, and we're going to go through part of them tonight to talk about whether the temple is built or not and what will indeed be in this interview. So remember, the week after, not next week, but the week after that, Tom Horn will be on. He'll be on at 5 p.m. Central, and we are going to talk about that new book. So, And on this order, now here's the list. On this order, did you know that the architectural plans for the third temple have already begun? So I get this from the Israeli National News. We find this.
Plans for the third temple have begun. While most Jews mourn and pray, one organization has been busily preparing plans to rebuild. Today, on the Feast of Av, Jews throughout the world mourn the destruction of the two holy temples of Jerusalem and pray for the rebuilding of the third temple.
Stop a second. That's the Fast of Av, not the Feast.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Easy to misplace it. Go ahead.
But one organization has been doing a lot more than just praying. The Temple Institute has released a modern three-dimensional architectural rendition of the future third holy temple utilizing the latest building materials and techniques. The vivid three-minute video walks viewers through the main sanctuary showcasing decades of research and tens of innovative Jewish law solutions to various perplexing issues that were resolved to create fully functional, ready-to-use plans. While staying true to the Halakhic requirements and dimensions, the project also adds some clear modern twists. As a visual tour sweeps through the sanctuary, one can see the menorah, incense altar, and showbread table, all of which have already been prepared by the Institute among 70 other sacred vessels.
Okay, let's stop right there for a minute. Now, the Temple Institute's been gathering these things for a very, very long time. You know, I've been following them ever since I got into prophecy back in the 90s, and they've been finding them, like, they even have a cornerstone, and they have different things. One thing they don't ever mention, they never mention the Ark of the Covenant, but I am with the solid belief after doing lots of research, beside the fact that I believe Ron Wyatt
found it.
But beyond that fact, I look for other sources. That's what a researcher does, you know, because there needs to be other evidence. And, you know, there's even been rabbis that when they've been asked about it in Jerusalem, have pointed and said, yeah, they know exactly where it's at. And I believe that. I believe that it is down there under the, you know, basically under the Temple Mount, right where Ron White said it was. I do believe that it is there and that it'll be brought out at the proper time. If it wasn't, they would have a hard time doing the temple that they're wanting to do because it'd be a missing thing. But also, they themselves would be stepping up the search for it, so to speak. Okay, the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin is like a Jewish court of rabbis, and they reestablish one. But some say that it does have authority, and others don't. But the Sanhedrin has been back for a number of years. The Sanhedrin, the tribunal that has styled itself after the Second Temple era Jewish court, recently instructed Jerusalem mayor candidates to include their plans to build the Third Temple. Now, they're telling all the people that are running for office to be the mayor of Jerusalem that this is a plan that we're planning to do. Now, the Sanhedrin's in on it. They're planning on building the temple. Well, they're telling the candidates ahead of time that they're ready and they're preparing. So if you're going to run for office, you better be prepared for that. At the close of 2018, the Sanhedrin also invited 70 nations. And that's what the Bible talks about, that the nations, the world was split up into 70 nations. At the close of 2018, the Sanhedrin invited 70 nations to dedicate the altar for the third temple. The number 70 is connected with the watchers and the arrival of the Antichrist in the last days. And that will be, like I say, this comes from Tom Horn's website. So that'll be one of the things that we'll be discussing about the watchers. And the watchers are what? That's the fallen angels that we find in Genesis 6. And you also find them in the book of Enoch. Evangelical Christians and Jews gathered in Jerusalem at the close of 2018 for an interfaith conference aimed at joining efforts to help build a third temple and for inaugurating the Messianic era. So, folks, see, we're not the only ones saying it, and it's coming. Anyway, go ahead and read this letter.
Excuse me. The Temple Mount is now a mainstream concern. Rare Interfaith Temple Mount Confab highlights a Christian awakening. Participants come from the conspiracy theories about the, where the temple was located. Stay for the activism is unusually shown a show of evangelical Christian support for Jewish right-wing cause. I know there's a certain group among the media that are going to be watching, and they're bound to call us racist, sexist, bigots, homophobes, Bible thumpers, irresponsible troublemakers, zealots, and extremists. But the zeal of Yahweh is truth, and the error of the empty name calling to shut down the opposition opinions you don't like, that era is over. And Arson said earlier in his opening remarks, the Temple Mount is now a mainstream concern in Israel and around the world.
So stop. So a huge amount of Christians who are over there were invited for a conference to talk about it. Okay, go ahead.
In recent years, there has been an uptick in visits by Jewish worshipers to the holy site, and according to the conference organizers, a flurry of interest by Christians, primarily evangelicals, since 2013, though they could not offer precise figures on the visits to the site by Christian supporters. Jesus loved the Temple Mount. He writes, whatever Christians' traditions of interpretations one subscribes to, one thing is clear. Yeshua loved the Temple Mount and Mount Zion, where the holy house of Yahweh stood. His disciples even said that zeal for Yahweh's temple consumed him, and like the weeping prophet Jeremiah, Yeshua wept when he had foresaw its destruction.
Yeah, and he warned them. He told them that it would be torn down, that no brick would be left standing. He told them that it would be torn down any week. And so, see, what we're building up here is that people are getting ready.
Yeah.
For there's organizations. Now, I can't wait for Tom to come on and tell us about it. We'll be going to break in a minute, but first I'll get this one out. Freemason United States and Israel have been secretly planning for decades to build a third temple. And, yes, I saw this, and I know that this has been happening. And so now you're getting an incredible look at the different people. In order for this to happen, you have to have a whole lot of people that are usually complaining about doing it or not doing it together on the same page to do it. And so this is a big deal. And Jews now are increasingly demanding access to the Temple Mount with visions of building the third temple. Now we'll stop right there. We're getting ready to go to break. Where can they find out about us, Mom?
ProphecyHour.com.
ProphecyHour.com. You can find links to everything in our ministry over there, whether it's a YouTube site, WichitaHomeless.com, to a lot of things. So go over there and check us out. And in the meantime, we're going to be gone for
4 minutes and 17 seconds.
Are you kidding?
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Pruning before the harvest is a necessary thing to help us bear more fruit for all and to glorify the King. Jesus is the true vine, His Father holds the shoes. At times the pruning hurts so bad, and we have to shed some tears. His time harvest is coming soon. Let's be thankful that we've been pruned. What it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. He does it 'cause He cares for us, and that's why He cuts us thin. When he's through, we may not see the good in what he's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in his son. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Then we see our leaves shoot forth, the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. Soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's picked for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful.
Okay, folks, we're back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin. We're speaking to you on the Prophecy Hour, Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour radio program, broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on News Network.
American Voice Radio.
American Voice Radio. Sometimes your voice gets low. Anyway, but it's probably raging. As you know, we have this new Skype, and I can't look over there and see if it's, you know, doing what it's supposed to be doing. Because it's the wonderful new Skype. Anyway, thank you, Microsoft. Right. Okay, not being sarcastic. We were talking about the possibility of a temple being built and Tom Horn coming on to talk about it. So, in September, now one of the things they need is to purify everything. They have to have a red heifer. Okay, so in September 2018, a newborn red heifer was certified by a board of rabbis as fulfilling all the biblical requirements for the temple service. A prequest, they needed this first for the biblical mandated process of ritual purification for impurity and results from the proximity or contact from a dead body. In other words, they have to purify the place. They have to have it purified with the ashes of a red heifer. The basic elements needed for the ceremony have been lacking since the destruction of the second temple, and all Jews today are considered ritually impure, therefore preventing the return of the temple service. That is, until now. So, from breaking Israel news, this is how we find it. Harbinger to Messiah, red heifer is born, and this was September 5th, 2018.
Many will be purified and purged and refined. The wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but the knowledgeable will understand. Daniel 12:10, the Israeli Bible.
Okay, last Tuesday, the Temple Institute's red heifer program was blessed with results. An entirely red female calf was born, paving the way for reestablishing the temple service and marketing the final day of redemption. Now, we'll wait for that song to right afterwards. Anyway, right after we get done with this part. Almost 3 years ago, the Temple Institute inaugurated its Raise a Red Heifer in Israel program. Due to laws restricting the importation of live cattle into Israel, the Temple Institute imported frozen embryos of red Angus and planting them in Israeli domesticated cows. Now, I really even question this, if it would be ritually okay to create a cow that's not been created naturally for the cleansing of the temple. But I'm not so sure this temple, like I said in the first place, even if they call it a third temple, will be the right temple or will actually be a holy place. That's a big question mark. The pregnant cows were raised on the cattle ranches in different locations throughout the country. The cows are now giving birth this summer with several calves already being born. 1 week after its birth, the newborn red heifer was certified by a board of rabbis fulfilling all the biblical requirements. The rabbis emphasized that the heifer could at any time acquire a blemish, making it unsuitable. They will be inspecting the calf off and on to make sure its condition is right. The red heifer was the main component of the biblically mandated process. We already covered that. This is a ritual law that Hashem commanded, it says, instruct benign Israel to bring a red cow without blemish, in which there is no defect, in which no yoke has been laid, and that's Numbers 19:2. O Israel, Israel, I cry for you, Israel, and let's have this song. Maybe. Well, I guess maybe the producer doesn't have the song ready. Okay, there we go.
Israel, Israel, by the great sea, borders from the river Nile.
That promise is a title deed to the land of Israel. In fact, we have more and more proof every day that Israel was indeed there, of artifacts and everything else, and even Muslims admitting that it is so. Now, a growing number of rabbis in Israel view Donald Trump as a Cyrus-like figure, which, as Tom puts it, the God of Israel raised up to initiate the Messianic era and the construction of the temple. Again, these are points that we will be talking about with Tom, but they're interesting. So, and this one I didn't know about at all. Saudi Arabia, Jewish religious leaders, and Donald Trump are negotiating behind the scenes to transfer control of Israel's holy sites, including to the Temple Mount, to the Saudis. That seems strange to me. To complete a peace covenant that will result, and among other things, the building of the temple, of the third temple. And we'll talk about that in 2 weeks. Even some Muslim scholars have arrived and have come to believe the time has arrived to build the third temple. From the Muslim times, we find title, How Can We Build the Third Temple Together? Mom, you want to read that?
Such a third temple would be would also serve as a foundation to achieve border peace. Broader peace between Israel and the Palestinians. If such a third temple of Solomon, Jesus, Muhammad and Trump Plaza is successfully built by President Trump or his son-in-law, it would become a beacon for interfaith coexistence for the whole world, and President Trump will go in history as the greatest real estate developer of all times for centuries to come. I, the humble author of this article, will reminisce in my old days in a nursing home, the quote from President Truman, it is amazing what you can accomplish if you do not care who gets the credit. The Jewish people who gave us a lot of our science and technology and economics would also have given us interfaith tolerance, not only in Israel, but many other parts of the world. But failing which the Jews and Muslims and Christians are showing to China, India, and Japan, how petty we can all be. Patriarch Abraham, with whom we all associate, was certainly far better than that.
What they're saying, though, is all these people are coming together and talking behind the scenes to building a third temple. And notice when they put all the nations, the reason that they would be on board for it is it says that the temple should become a place of worship for all nations. And so you notice it's trying to include all nations in it. And again, the way that they're talking about it, it just doesn't sound like the Ezekiel's temple that talks about being built. But we're going to hear what Tromhorn has to say. And so along the very same lines, we have this article, and this just came from Michael Snyder, and you can read the places in blue here in a second. This just came in. The Pope and Islam's most important enemy just signed a covenant that pushes us closer to a one world religion. And this is from Michael Snyder. His historic interfaith covenant was signed in the Middle East on Monday, and the mainstream media in the United States has almost been entirely silent about it. Sheikh Ahmad al-Tayyab is considered to be the most important enemy in Sunni Islam. He arrived at the signing ceremony at Abu Dhabi with Pope Francis hand in hand, a symbol of interfaith brotherhood. So you have a pope and the biggest inman, or, Muslim holy man, doing this. But it wasn't just a ceremony for Catholics and Muslims. According to British news source, the signing of this covenant was done in front of a global audience of religious leaders from Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and other faiths. The Pope and the Grand Imam have signed a historic declaration of fraternity, calling it peace between nations, religions, and races in front of a global audience of religious leaders from Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and other faiths.
Pope Francis, the leader of the world's Catholic, and Sheikh Ahmad al-Tayyib, the head of Sunni Islam's most prestigious seat of learning, arrived at the ceremony in Abu Dhabi hand-in-hand in assembly of interfaith brotherhood.
In other words, there was a concentrated effort to make sure all the religions of the world were represented at this gathering. According to the official Vatican website, a tremendous amount of preparation went into the drafting of this document and encourages believers from all religions to shake hands and embrace one another, kiss one another, and even pray one another. Before you read that, let me say this. So here we have, going along with the other thing, that book that we were just talking about, a push of all the religions to come together and to do what? To build
the third temple.
Okay, go ahead.
The document signed by Pope Francis and the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, Ahmad Talibib, was prepared with much reflection and prayer. The Pope said, The one great danger at this moment, he continued, is destruction, war, hatred between us. If we believe...
Believers.
When you scroll it. If we believers are not able to shake hands, embrace one another, kiss one another, and even pray, our faith will be defeated, he said. The Pope explained that the document is born of faith in God, who is Father of all and the Father of peace, is condemned all destruction, terrorists from the first terrorism in the world. Oh, wait. Sorry. Sorry about that. I don't see where you're at.
Okay. Just a second, folks. It is born in faith of Yahweh the Father and condemns all destruction, terrorism from the first terrorism in history, that is of Cain. There's a lot of language about peace in this document, but it goes way beyond just advocating for peace. For the record, folks, I sent a link to this to the pastor's page, and you can find the complete reading of this document over there from Michael Snyder's article. Anyway, it goes on and it says, over and over, the word of God is used to identify Allah and the God of Christianity to say that they're one and the same, but they're not. Here is just one example.
We who believe in God and in the final meeting with him and his judgment on the basis of our religion and our moral responsibility and through this document call upon ourselves, upon the leaders of this world and as well as the architects of international policy and world economy to work strenuously to spread the culture of tolerance and of living together in peace, to interfere at the earliest opportunity to stop the shedding of innocent blood, and bring an end to the wars, conflict, environmental decay, and the moral and cultural decline that the world is presently experiencing.
Okay, now before I go on with this, let me say this. You know, the biggest, and Donald Trump is in their way. While he might be in on trying to bring the peace or whatever, the globalists by far have said that Trump is in a way single-handedly stopping, and that's what all this migration thing is. You know, the open borders is to turn us into a place without borders, a one-world society, a one-world government. It's purely Satanistic is what it is. But, and Trump is the roadblock in the way. That's why we all need to pray for Trump, because I really do fear for he and his family's lives. You know, this man has given so much. A rich man like him, he's lost tons of money, and let alone his peace of mind. He should be enjoying his children and grandchildren at this stage of his life. But at his age, he's out there fighting
for America.
Fighting for America. On top of that, this document also boldly declares the diversity of religions that we in the world see was willed by God.
Freedom is a right of every person. Each individual enjoys the freedom of belief, thought, expression, and action. The pluralism and the diversity of religions, color, sex, race, and language are willed by God in his wisdom through which he created human beings. This divine wisdom is the source from which the right to freedom of belief and freedom of differences derive. Therefore, the fact that people are forced to adhere to the certain religion and culture must be rejected, as to the imposition of the cultural way of life that others do not accept.
Okay, did you hear that? Now listen, it says, therefore the fact that people are forced to adhere to a certain religion or culture must be rejection, to the imposition of a cultural way of life that others do not accept. What they're saying is, you can't just believe in Christ. You can't just believe in Muhammad. You got to believe in all of it. It's all got to have a place and thing, and not one is better than the other. And that is Satanistic. I mean, because there's only one way to the Father, and that is?
Through the Son.
Through the Son. And so, yeah, in essence, this is saying that the will of God, that there are hundreds of different religions in the world, and that they are all acceptable in his sight. Not so. Only way to the Father is through the Son. We know that the elite want a one world of religion, but we see the most important clerics from both Catholicism and Islam to make such a dramatic push for it. It's absolutely stunning. Along with all of these other things, it's just craziness is what it is. Well, it's not craziness. That's what all these times and things are. The lawlessness that's all out there, the killing of the children, the sacrificing. The Pope here we have the Pope, and the Catholic religion, for the most part, is standing up for abortions and saying it's okay to kill children. You know, abortion is okay. They try to say that Allah and Yahweh are one and the same, but they are clearly not, because it says the only way to the Father is through the Son. But what? It says that Allah says, well, you know, he has no son. And that's even embedded on the steps of the temple, that's on the Temple Mount, that Allah has no son. That's one of the tenets of our faith, and that Yeshua, or Jesus Christ, I'd rather in this case call him Jesus Christ, so that Jesus Christ will come back to prepare the way for their Savior, their Inman, that the last Mahdi, and that he will kill the people that do not worship Islam, that he will behead them. Well, that's what the Antichrist does. That's what he is supposed to do. So that is where it's from. And we have other miraculous good things happening, like now we have seen the exposure of the, I believe, the absolute proof now seen. You watch the videos and of Mount Sinai really being revealed to us, although that it's been discovered and been there for such a long time. Even the local tribes people, you say, what's that mountain? They say, oh, that's the mountain of Moses. And so those things are there, all the things needed for the mountain of Moses, Mount Sinai, are there. The calf altar and all the other things, the rock of Horeb, all those things are there. And it's a revealing. You know, it would not surprise me that within a few years or less that we would see the revealing of the Ark of the Covenant. And so we need to keep watch, folks. You need to keep praying. We need to be about the Father's business, the Father's business. Because if we're not about the Father's business, what good are we? Because we are put here to show his love for other people, and we serve Yahweh by serving the Father. We serve by serving Yahweh. We serve the Father, but the Father is Yahweh. So what I'm saying, by serving people, we serve Yahweh. By serving others. That's what Yeshua, he came as a suffering servant. We're supposed to be Christ-like. And so that's what we are to do. And so we try to do that with the Mission Church as best we can. You know, we're just a home church, folks, with a building trying to take care of a huge amount of people. We get new people all the time. We're told by the people that we're a blessing to everybody in the street. And even the police department say that we are a legend, which I find astonishing that that has been admitted by the police department, that we are a legend for all the things that we do. Well, we don't strive to do that. What's legendary is the amount of miracles that the Father has given the people.
The biggest needs of the Mission Church are blankets right now and socks and warm things to keep them warm, large print Bibles, King James Version Bibles, pasta and bread and meat. 5 pounds of hamburger and 8 pounds of pasta can feed up 60 to 70 people when we add potatoes or vegetables or both with it. And then 12 packs of hot dogs can do the same. You got to have the buns. And now they make 8 and 8. It used to be 10 and 8. So you buy more hot dogs and go with more buns. But now they finally got it 8 and 8.
Which one was 8 and which one was 10?
The hot dogs was 10 and the buns was 8, but they wanted you to buy more buns, so you buy more hot dogs. Because you never would come out even.
That was the craziest thing. I never could figure that out for years. Oh, you got to buy some more to even it out. At some point, it does even it out. I don't know what number it was, but I figured it out one time. It equals itself out.
Well, 8 packs of hot dogs would be 80, and 10 packs of buns would be 80. That's the only way you could even it. It still wouldn't be the exact same number of hot dogs in the back. In fact, it never even.
It would even itself out. Now, mind you, yes, actually, it would. It does even itself out if you got 8 and 12. Eventually, 8 and 10. Eventually, you have to buy more hot dogs than you do buns. But at some point in number, it does even itself out. And I figured it out once. I don't remember what it was, folks, but I did. So these are just some examples. So
usually if you get just small, like kind of cans of vegetables you use at home, it takes 15 cans. But if you get number 2 cans, it's 3 cans.
Number 10
cans. That's the big restaurant-sized cans that you get at Sam's and stuff like that. Yeah, it takes two to three of those.
Right.
And it just depends on what else you make. It all depends on how many different dishes you have for one meal.
Yeah, and praise the Father, we have a donation to donut, so they usually get a donut or two with their meal.
Yeah, I get fresh donuts every Tuesday and Friday, so I don't have to make desserts anymore. We get fresh donuts. Yay!
Right, and you know, it would be nice, you know, right now, one of the big things that it would be nice to have is, we also need sugar. We go through tons of sugar, and bread would be nice if we could get some donations of loaves of bread, you know, because I know we get some from that one place, but sometimes they're pretty hard for a sandwich. So people eat them anyway, but, you know, it would be nice to have fresh loaf bread to give them the sandwiches on instead of a... And so what do we use?
Well, I'm thankful for the bread we do get, but
well,
yeah.
I'm not just thankful for it. I'm just saying it would be nice to have something different, you know. And but, you know, amen, we take whatever we can. We feed the people, the people go. Normally they don't complain. I'm sure somebody might complain someplace, but normally they're really, really happy to have anything that we serve them, and they're happy to get into a safe, warm place. Or in the summertime, a safe, cool place where they know that you know, we're going to be there to protect them. Nothing's going to happen to them, you know, and they can come for Bibles. They can come, and that we need. Large print King James Bibles is great. I will accept any kind of King James Bible. Some people go to the secondhand store and find them, but, you know, we accept anything. You know, and tell them about that. You know, what if people just have a bunch of stuff?
Just send it or contact us if we need to pick it up. Yeah, they take everything. I just put it in there and they take it. Dishes, and I've even gave away couches and chairs and dressers. Just give us a call and we'll find a place for whatever it is. We also have financial needs, just like you have financial needs. We have financial needs, so just pray about it. What the Lord puts on your heart, that's what we need, because He wouldn't put it on your heart if we didn't need it.
Okay. Remember, the trip to Wichita to the Mission Church is a 120-mile round trip, and so, you know, consider that. Like right now, I'm trying to put in a set of tires for my truck. Everybody keeps pointing to Pastor Dan, your tires are getting bald. Yeah, but I got to, you know, tires for a truck, and I have to have a truck because of hauling stuff anyway, and to safely navigate the deer, that's like $500. But a big need, if you don't want to help with homeless and poor, make sure that you make a donation for radio, because they have to pay for airtime. And while we're talking about that, we're on a computer right here. It seems to be working great, but here's the deal. Computers don't last all that long. This specific computer, to replace it, about $600, maybe a little cheaper. But the point is it's over 8 years old, and it could go any time. And if so, that puts us at a dead stop. So I need to replace this computer. Remember, folks, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
If you don't wish to help with the homeless and poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. You can donate online, over the phone, mail a check or money order, and you can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. Say goodbye, Mom.
Shalom. Till next time.
Folks, we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for repented sins, and He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, Father, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, You would bless and keep them, and that Your face would shine upon them, and that You would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Be blessed.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.